Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It is time for a wildly wondrous Wednesday edition of Let's Talk, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Jeff Byers, it's Scott Giese, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, it could be you. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. We'd love to hear what's on your mind this morning.
Yes.
What's up? What's up, peeps?
How you feeling?
Better. Getting there.
I was going to say, you got the medicated drink right here.
Yeah, it is a work in progress. I will say I am a fan of the NyQuil in particular. Man, that stuff knocks me out.
Okay.
I'm a little slow moving. I took it early last night, too, and I'm still a little slow moving this morning. It is... Man, that stuff, it hits me. But it helps, and I'm actually holding off on the DayQuil till after the show, because I know it's not supposed to,
right,
but I'm like,
good.
I don't want to, have any more loaded up in the system here. It's funny. So you wake up, and it's like, all right, assessment time. I'm like, well, I'm still groggy. I think I feel better. My throat's not bothering me as much. And then I'm like, can I talk? And when I first opened my mouth, and nobody's around, mind you, fell asleep on the couch watching the beloved Penguins. Penguins.
Oh, please, you did it.
Sloppy. Fall asleep on the couch and wake up, and again, I'm trying to assess the overall. I'm like, I think I feel better, and then I'm like, oh, I need to blow my nose. Not definitely not all good. And then I open my mouth, I'm like, I can't tell if I sound right. I don't think I sound right.
Okay.
And so...
That's a problem.
Yeah, so I think better. Not 100% for sure, but I think better. Hoping that one more night of the... a day of the DayQuil and a night of the NyQuil and... all of the other things in between. Been loading up on the vitamin C, been loading up on the zinc, been loading up on the, what have I been doing? The chamomile tea with honey.
Ooh,
doing everything we can. And I think overall improved. I am, and I don't know if it's just the NyQuil or yesterday it was all just the throat and the nose. Today I'm like... slightly lightheaded, and it's like
again.
It's not a bad feeling.
Sorry,
it's that. It's like I've had a couple of drinks in me, and I'm like, I don't know. Like this isn't right, but
okay. It
also isn't all bad. Just saying. Okay. So I don't know what that's about. That
apparently,
might be the NyQuil talk.
Apparently, that's a warning for me. All right.
Yes, all right. And to all of you. It just I feel just a little.
Okay.
Not there.
Folks, we could really use your phone calls today, all right?
It would help.
Mr. Lightheaded flying around the ceiling here.
It would help. Listen last night, though, with Todd and Norm Brown down at Wingate. Phillipsburg Osceola, good win. We'll have all of the sports coming up here in a bit and the wrestling action, but... fun listen. I enjoy.
Oh, they're great.
The Todd and Norm broadcast. They have fun. And... it's sports. It should be fun. And I agree with a lot of their commentary. They're talking beforehand about the, and I'm with them, that the good old days when gyms were packed for these dual meets. And they used to have, when we first started covering, when I first started covering high school wrestling, when we would go to Bald Eagle area, as often as not, at least that's what it felt like, but at least a couple times a year, not only was the gym packed, but they would have overflow crowd, and so they would set up the closed circuit TV over in the cafeteria, and you would have another few hundred anyway, just watching the action on the TV in the building there. And there's a bunch of things that are different now, including it feels like they have de-emphasized those single dual meets, just the PIAA in general. And I think that's a mistake, but it is what it is, as the kids say. But anyways, fun lesson last night. We can get into a lot of sports discussion this morning because I'm also watching, I was flipping around a little bit this morning, and I think it was Fox News that, although I've seen it written a couple of places too, about the costs now of youth sports and the travel teams that now start as early as second grade, and maybe even before that, but at least as early as second grade. And there are some out there that believe, yep, you got to get involved with those teams. If you want to have a truly successful career, you've got to figure out your sport and you got to start going year-round and working with the travel teams in elementary school. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you definitively you should never, ever do that. But most of you should never, ever do
that. No.
Now, are there exceptions? Yes. And I bring up probably way too often David Taylor. But David, just as a young kid, I mean, I've talked to his dad and know his family enough that, I mean, it wasn't his dad said, hey, let's go. It was David loved the sport. I mean, just took to it and obviously had a natural proclivity for it. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, he's really good at it and he loves it, so we'll support him. That is so much the exception. You know, again, it's the same thing. If your kid loves playing the piano and my God, he's capable of playing concerts at age five, like the two or three people every 100 years that do that. Well, yes, okay, you can have them specialize in playing the piano starting. Okay. But for like the 99.9% of us that are regular old human beings, let your kids play different sports. Let them stay in the local area. Now, again, there is, I've had friends, now more so in high school. I'm trying to think, I'm sure I have friends that have done it earlier. When you get to high school, there is something to the camaraderie. You know, it's not just about, hey, my kid has to be the best. We got to get a college scholarship. There is something to the camaraderie. I think it's kind of fun for the families as well as the kids going on the road trips and all of that. So, fine with that. But the costs involved have skyrocketed over the last couple of generations, and really even over the last like 5 years when you look at the overall cost, and especially if your kids are doing the travel teams. And again, more and more people are feeling pressured to do so. And my kiddo is, again, in fifth grade, what will potentially be making these decisions down the road. I really like the idea of let's go play games in our neighborhood, in our school district, and, you know, let's make the half-hour drive if we have to every now and then for a competition. Now, if you're at State College, you're in the mid-pen, you're making the two-hour drives no matter what. So, I don't know, maybe that changes the equation there, too. You're used to, the local team has to go two and a half hours for competitions on a fairly regular basis. It's like, okay. So, I don't know. It was, and with that, not surprisingly, and I don't think it's just the cost. I do think we have, for a bunch of reasons, kids that are not as active, but the costs are going up and the participation is going down in scholastic sports and in youth sports.
How about that?
And, yeah, and that is not good. again, most of us get that, yeah, the overwhelming majority of kids aren't even going to play collegiately, let alone go on and play professionally. But there is a benefit, to me, a very clear and real benefit to playing sports. And that is not to say you should force a kid who has no interest in sports to play sports. But you do need them to be physically active. There's, again, an opinion here. You need to be out running around a little bit as a kiddo, at least through middle school, and probably actually more importantly, so you set good habits for life in high school. And again, you don't need to be an athlete. You don't need to be on a team, but you need to be physically active. And I do think if you're able and you have the interest, being on a team just has a lot of benefits that can help anybody long term. And if it's not sports, get involved with something, whether it's, you know, chess club or get into theater, get into music. You got to have something that you can take up as an interest, a hobby, something to join you with other people, though. It needs to be something where you're part of something bigger than yourself. And again, there's just important lessons there. And I think we're having more and more kiddos not make those connections. And I think it is a contributing factor to why we are seeing the rise in mental health issues. Again, I'm not the sole reason, bunch of things going on, but I think it's part of it. I do.
All right. Well, save that thought for later. We have an open line program.
Yeah, right, we do.
So we've got that and politics. Oh, my Lord, it's going wild this week.
Yeah.
Totally wild. I mean, wild. Yeah. We'll save that for later. And, you know, if you want to chime in, 814-954-7266. All right. We'll see what you think about. Yes. Welcome to the heat wave, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Now, seriously, here in our parking lot where our studio is, 24 hours ago, it was 2 degrees. This morning, I pull in, I park, I trust the thermometer, whatever, in my dashboard. It's 40 degrees.
Hey, hey, hey.
That is my definition of a heat wave. From 2 to 40 in 24 hours. Like, holy moly. So it's going to be warmer next couple of days. Now, let's watch out, all right, if you somehow don't follow weather forecasts and so on. I'm seeing something about freezing fog. Oh, wonderful.
That's come great. On now.
Freezing fog. Apparently, it's going to rain tomorrow. Might rain a lot tomorrow. We'll see what happens. And then Friday's looking a little wild. Wild meaning windy. Windy wild on Friday. So it's definitely warmer, but okay, this could be a fun couple of days, so stay tuned and we'll see what goes on here. All right, today's a big day in history. Big day in history. This day, 1903.
Oh, those were the days.
I have been to this place.
Yeah.
I think you have been to this place. Orville and Wilbur Wright made the first powered flight. This is the Outer Banks of North Carolina. All right, Kill Devil Hills or Kitty Hawk. All right, a couple of names down there. This was the first time that we know of the first successful flight of a heavier-than-air aircraft. And my family and I've only been there once. My family and I took a vacation down there 3 years ago, I think it was, and so on. And there's a big museum, the exact field where the Wright brothers did their flight and, you know, how they did it and all that sort of thing. Really cool. If you ever go down there, you got to go to that place. It's great. But it's interesting, the definition of a flight, all right? If you don't know your history, and they probably don't cover this in school, but they should. Orville and Wilbur, after years and years of work, put together their Wright Flyer, their airplane, and they take it out on this day in 1903. There's always breezes coming right off the ocean, so that's the reason they were there in the first place. And the first flight, which is designated as the first flight, went a whopping 120 feet. That's it. It lasted 12 seconds. All right, that's like, okay, fire up the engine. Okay, go. Whoop, boom. That's all it was. Whoop, boom. That's what we recognize as the first flight. I don't. Okay, that was not the first flight.
Huh.
That was whoop,
you and your
boom.
Standards.
Here's what they did. This is what they don't teach you in school, all right? They had four flights that day. Four. The first, and Orville and Wilbur exchanged tries. So Orville went first. All right? He went 120 feet. Whoop, boom. That's
Look
all
at me.
It was. Okay? Then it was Wilbur's turn. Wilbur went 175 feet. Okay? That's a little further. All right, that's good.
That's right.
All right, then Orville gets back in, and the third try goes 200 feet. All right, we're making improvement. All right, this is good. Then they have the fourth flight, and this is Wilbur. And maybe Wilbur was just starting to get the hang of it.
And he landed in California. It was amazing, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't think they had enough gas for that, no.
Yeah, not quite.
But the fourth flight, remember, the third flight was 200 feet. The fourth flight went 852 feet.
Woo! Almost double.
That, oh, please, that is the first flight. For me, that's the first real flight. He went for.
You don't even count the others.
No. The others were all whoop, bump, whoop,
very judgmental.
Okay. He went, Wilbur flew for about a minute. I mean, and he was, I guess, turning the plane. He was doing the whole bit. And that's the first flight. Huh. 852 feet. Now, what happened after that, they were going to try it a fifth time. And this was a rather light plane. They picked it up. They were going to take it back to their takeoff spot. Apparently, a big gust of wind came up and took a hold of the plane. You ever notice this on a windy day? Whoops, something flies off. Took a hold of the plane, kind of picked it up, and smashed it into the ground.
Smashed it.
All right, and that was it. The plane was damaged, and the two brothers were done for the day. But they had made their history on this day in 1903. Not that long ago, when you think about it.
No.
Wow. Yeah, the fourth flight was the real first flight.
Huh.
Wilbur got up there, and he's turning the plane like, okay, I think I got the hang of this. Hey, this is kind of fun. Yeah, how about that? The first flight. There we go.
Then he got sick on the peanuts, and they're like, oh, peanut allergies. We can't have peanuts on these
pass
flights.
The pretzel, little bag of pretzels, you know. No, they didn't get that far, all right? All right, tonight, here we go again. The Powerball jackpot.
Now we're talking.
All right, well, you... $1.25 billion.
Almost worth playing. Now.
Holy moly. Well, I happened to stop at a grocery store yesterday for something, and yep, there's the machine right at the exit. I thought, all right, what the hey. Got out $2, put it in, let the machine pick numbers, because, again, I was a dismal failure the last time I tried. So we'll see what happens. All right, $1.25 billion. Woo. Penn State finals week again this week. So, again, if you're in state college and you see, you know, students holding their heads like, oh, I have a headache and so on, that'd be why.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Come on. Now, some, you know, I can't remember my final schedule from, God forbid, like 40 years ago. I'm trying to think. I didn't have finals like every day finals week. I might have been done by Wednesday. So some of these kids might be done by today. And then they probably hop in the car and head for home. All right? Finals week. All right. Center Daily Times story. Right? Free plug for these folks. All right, buddy. I need some help from you.
Okay.
Because I assume you know something about this.
Well, I don't know.
Because it involves your guy, Cale Sanderson, Penn State wrestling coach.
Okay.
Who apparently is going into the food business. Come on, you must have you had one of these?
I have.
You have?
I have.
Okay. He's launched a new cookie called Cale's Cookie. Okay. That's a good name, I guess. Cale's Cookie. It's a soft baked chocolate chip cookie. Okay, I like those.
That's
good. I'm taking this from the story now. It's allegedly, cookies aren't normally called a healthy snack. but this is being labeled as a healthy snack.
Well, I call them a healthy snack.
Okay, whatever. It has.
Then again, I call ice cream a healthy snack. So, well, you know, perhaps milk. My judgment isn't the best.
Milk and dairy. There we go. There we go. The cookie is supposed to have ancient grains. I'm not even sure what that means. Real fats instead of like oil. So it says here, coconut, almond, and flax instead of a seed oil. Now, according to the story, this is $5 per cookie. All right, you said you had one. How big is this cookie? Is it like big as my hand or something?
It is as big as a tractor trailer wheel.
What, for a kid's toy or something?
Yeah, maybe more.
Okay. $5 a cookie. This must be quite a cookie. Can you get me one of these cookies? Come on, you have connections.
I could probably do that.
Get me a cookie, all right? I might even pay the $5. I want to see if this...
Might.
Okay, I will pay the $5.
Okay.
Or wherever you...
Well, now I'll get you that cookie.
You can only get these online, or are they going to have these at stores? We'll have to watch. I would figure local stores would carry Kale's cookie. All right? It's got packaging, the whole nine yards. All right, that's fine. If you were listening yesterday by dumb luck, I mentioned talk about civics at one point yesterday. And for middle schoolers, this would be 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, there is an annual Civics Bee and goes all the way up to the national level because our kids learning about civics these days, like how our government works and how decisions are made, either locally, nationally, whatever. Our kids really taught this stuff because it seems like they aren't. And I can only say that because we get to, like, the college level, and I see, you know, occasionally there's a protest about this, that, and the other thing. And I just wonder, do these kids really understand how decisions are made, or are they just out there raging? In some cases, that's what it feels like, all right? And so I mentioned that there's probably some kind of upcoming, you know, way for middle school kids to, you know, sign up. And I gave a little bit of information. Well, how about this? Yesterday about lunchtime, our friends from the CBICC, Center Business Industry of Center County, come out with a release or a story talking about the Civics Bee.
Hey, hey, hey.
Now, I don't know. Maybe they were listening to the show yesterday and said, hey, we got to pump something out here.
It's possible.
All right. So the way this thing works, if you have a middle schooler, again, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, the first round, if you will, is online. You register online. And then the kid has to write an essay to a question. It's like a civics-related question. And then I guess the judges, whoever they are, will take these in. By the way, the deadline for that is February 3rd. All right? So you got a little bit of time, but don't waste time here.
Don't dilly-dally.
All right? Don't, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Dilly bar. Yeah, don't dilly bar.
Oh, no, a dilly bar.
There you go, dilly bar.
Let's bring in a
So then whoever, I guess, qualifies from that, will then go to a Center County competition. Now, the Center County competition isn't until April 28th, and that's an in-person competition. And then whoever qualifies from that will then go to the state competition, and then whoever wins that goes to the national competition. And the national winner of the Civics Bee gets $100,000. Kids need to know this stuff. Okay, so let's see here. I can't share a link, but if you do a little web searching, maybe for Civics Bee or Center County Civics Bee, you should be able to get the link for the local entry, the, you know, kind of get started sort of thing. So be on the lookout for that. If you have a middle schooler, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, why not? If they're into that sort of stuff, you know, civics and history and you know, current events and so on. Hey, you could be a winner. And really quick, I mentioned yesterday that we had a guest back in the spring from the state organization that is involved with the Civics Bee.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, that would be a good topic right now. I reached out to former Congressman Jim Gerlach, who was our guest back in the spring, and he immediately got back to me and said, yeah, let's do something. So we're going to have former Congressman Gerlach on one day next week, right before the Christmas break. All right, so we'll be talking about not just the Civics Bee. We're going to be talking about politics. Mr. Gerlach, again, is a former congressman, so I assume he can make his own comments and opinions without, I don't know, stepping on somebody's toes.
I would think.
That will be next Tuesday, next week. I'm looking forward to that because, again, we're going to take a break here. Later on, yeah, we'll definitely have political talk because, again, it's getting insane. Especially on health care. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's going bananas. So hold that thought. We got to take a break. We'll come back. We have our sports segment. Maybe later on we'll talk. I saw the same story, I think, that you saw about the money in youth sports is getting out of hand now. Really. I've got some opinions on that, too. So hold that thought. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox, and we will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel. But a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Get up and get going with 98.7 The Fox.
original Mannheim steamroller doesn't get you in the Christmas spirit.
You're dead.
You're just not getting into the Christmas spirit. I am sorry. Man, their arrangements are just remarkable. It is Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning, right smack dab in the middle of the week. Just a few days before the Christmas shopping season gets underway here. Hopefully you're starting to get your list together.
Next week. Huh?
Yeah. It's coming right up. You'll want to get ready for that if you're like me. You know, you don't want to wait till the last second.
No, no.
Let's take a check of sports, shall we? We shall. Senior running back Catron Allen of the Nittany Lions has been recognized as a second-team All-American by the American Football Coaches Association. He was named to that team yesterday. That is his second All-America honor. He was also, of course, recognized as a third-team selection by the Associated Press on Monday. Good stuff. Catron Allen, again, was the sixth leading rusher in the country this year with over 1,300 yards, and he'll go down as the all-time leading rusher in career yards at Penn State with over 4,000 now in his career. In a match heard right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox last night, the Phillipsburg Osceola wrestling team earned its first win of the season, picking up a 41-23 victory over Bald Eagle Area in Wingate. Picking up wins for the winning Mounties were Hayden Kopchak and Ace Foster, while Caleb Hubble earned a technical fall. Other winners for Phillipsburg Osceola included Jacob Dugan, Devin Long, Ty Fulmer, Colton Chapman, and Evan Eichenlob. Winners for Bald Eagle Area included Brody Gardner, who won by fall. Also Tanner Ganeau, Dawson Lomason, Caden Judice, and Gage Gardner, all earning wins for the Eagles. Mounties improved to 1-2 on the season. Bald Eagle Area is now 5-3 on the year. The Penns Valley wrestling team remains unbeaten. The Rams last night defeating Huntingdon 42-27. Caden Myers, Evan Lasowski, Connor Myers, Eric Carlisle, and Sawyer Fedoroff all recording pins for Penns Valley. Also winning for the Rams were Kale Smith, Max Dingus, and Trip Watson. The Rams are now 8-0 on the season. They'll have their ninth match coming up. Misreading my own print. 8-0 are the Rams. You know, they'll be 9-0, and then they'll be 10-0, and, you know, it's just going to
be
going.
Yeah.
So I'm just going ahead of my time is all that is. That's a professional cover, kids. Don't try that at home. Wasn't that what that was?
Have some more medicated.
Casey, didn't that seem like a professional cover?
More medicated drink, please.
Yes. And load it up with the good stuff.
Okay.
All right. Junior Kennedy Martin of the Penn State women's volleyball team and sophomore Jake Kennedy of the men's swim and dive team have each been recognized as the November Student Athletes of the Month for Penn State. The recognition announced by the Morgan Academic Center and the Penn State Academic Services staff. Martin is a South Carolina native out of Fort Mill, South Carolina. He's in his first semester in Happy Valley, transferred here from Florida. In her first season, she set program records for the 25-point rally scoring era, with 634 kills, which would be 5.42 kills per set, and, with 728 points. Kennedy, who originally is from Springfield, Pennsylvania, I am confusing myself here. I'm like, Kennedy? It's Kennedy Martin. I didn't pick up on that when I was writing the story. One person's name is
Yeah.
Kennedy's the first name, and the other, the last name is Kennedy.
Kennedy,
and
yes.
It is throwing me for a loop now as I'm reading through the story with my hazed outlook.
Try the medicated drink.
Right? This is, anyway, sorry. Kennedy, the swimmer, Springfield, Pennsylvania native, he competed in his first two collegiate meets this season and already has three finishes atop the podium for the Nittany Lions. In his first career action, he raced as part of the 400 freestyle relay team, which took home first in the meet against the Bonnies, and then he followed it up with a first-place finish in the 50 free and the 100 free against Yale. Wow, that threw me for a loop. My head was having a tough time getting around that. Right. I'm like, oh, I missed... I didn't write this right. And no, I did. I just. Penn State's Ava Falduto and Kennedy Martin have been named to the Academic All-District Women's Volleyball Team yesterday as well. That award recognizing the nation's top student athletes for their combined performances on the volleyball court and in the classroom. Falduto made the Academic All-District Team in her first year of eligibility. She's a finance major. Oh, I could use her help. Recently earning a spot on the Academic All-Big Ten team, sophomore defensive specialist Falduto played in all 32 matches this season for the Nittany Lions. The aforementioned Martin, first name Kennedy, an Academic All-American last season, picked up her second career Academic All-District honor. She is a labor and human resources major and excelled both academically and athletically in her first season at Penn State, and hopefully even bigger and better things to come next season for Kennedy Martin and the Penn State women's volleyball team. All right. Pittsburgh Penguins last night. I kept thinking just maybe they're going to rally. We'll reverse. I mean, the good news is they didn't blow a lead last night. We got that going for
us. They never had a lead.
No, they did not.
Okay.
Leon Drazzati had four assists, becoming the fourth fastest active player in NHL history to reach the 1,000 career point mark for the Oilers. Edmonton winning in Pittsburgh last night 6-4. This has been a rough homestand for my beloved Penguins. Connor McDavid scored a couple of goals. His power play goal was, even as a Penguins fan, I'm like, well, that was
Mario Lemieux-esque.
Yes, he had himself a game. Two goals, two assists. Edmonton played very, very well last night. Sidney Crosby had an assist. He now moves within a point. Speaking of Mario Lemieux, of tying Lemieux's franchise record of 1,723 points. So keep an eye on that here in these next couple of games. Yep. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be good for the Penguins to get on the road. It just feels like karma has not been good there at PPG Paints Arena on this homestand. So they'll hit the road and take on Ottawa on Thursday. And maybe that'll help change things around. It's just, it's been frustrating as of late for my beloved Pittsburgh Penguins. Flyers, meanwhile, got a good 4-1 win over the Montreal Canadiens last night. Congratulations, stupid Flyers.
Oh, now be nice.
I'm not happy.
Come on, be nice.
Travis Konechny, he seems to score at least once every game. No? He and Bobby Brink, Carl Grunstrom, and Trevor Zegras scored the goals for the Flyers last night. Konechny also added an assist for Philadelphia. Flyers now 17-9-6. On the season, and as we take a look at the Metropolitan standings, the Hurricanes still atop, but the Flyers are now just 4 points out of first place, tied with the Capitals for third, and there are the Penguins still sitting there in fifth and now tied with New Jersey for fifth with 37 points. Just hoping that, again, getting out of town maybe will be the recipe.
All right, there you go.
Going to go with that for a little bit. Again, Pittsburgh Steelers have a big one coming up against the Detroit Lions on the road on Sunday, 4:25 kickoff. Steelers right now with a game lead over the Ravens, but it's really like a game plus because they have the tiebreaker over the Ravens right now. But, if they can win these next two, and it's a capital I, capital F, then you render that Ravens game at the end of the year meaningless, which would be just wonderful if you are the Steelers. But work cut out for them at Detroit. Again, that'll be a 4:25 kickoff on Sunday. And the coverage right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox will get underway at 4 o'clock. Baltimore Ravens will be home against the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football. We will have that game for you with coverage starting at 8 o'clock as well here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. So we've got your AFC North coverage all right here Sunday. I am looking forward to it, at least at the moment, looking forward to it. Well, might not be as happy about the coverage come late Sunday night. We'll see.
All right. Put it this way. If the Steelers blow this, it's on them. All right.
Well,
The Ravens have the Patriots.
Oh, they have the tough
one. Who are really good this year. They then have the Packers.
Yeah.
Now, their Packers are a little beat up.
Yeah.
You know, they lost Micah Parsons. He's done. Their one receivers. Yeah. I mean, they're beat up.
Yeah, they are.
But still, they're a winning team, record team. And then they go to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. All right. So the Ravens clearly have the tougher road. The Steelers at the Lions. And the Lions are good, but not like last year. All right.
No, but that running game, now the running game for the Dolphins the previous month had been fantastic, and the Steelers, without T.J. Watt, were able to shut it down pretty effectively. But, man, that Lions running game has been very, very impressive.
Yeah. Then they go to Cleveland against the Browns. Now, Cleveland is once again dreadful.
Yes, but it's a rivalry game.
But it's in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay. That should be a win.
It should.
Find a way to put a bag on Myles Garrett, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, well.
Okay?
Yeah.
So everything is going the Steelers' way right now. That's it.
Yep.
And if somehow they would lose, God forbid, to the Lions and the Browns, and the Ravens would win, all they've got to do is beat the Ravens in Pittsburgh in 3 weeks, and they're in.
Yeah, yeah.
So all roads go through Pittsburgh. The question
is
will they blow it?
Just step up and get it done, boys.
Will they blow it?
Well, and here's the other side of it, though. So let's come with me down Ironhead's fantasy lane for a moment, shall we? Because if the Steelers do get the win in Detroit, and that is a tall order.
It's tough.
But if they get that win, and then they beat the Browns, and then, again, it could be a meaningless game, really, against the Ravens, so maybe you rest your starters. But the point is, you have a chance to really build momentum, not just get in the playoffs, but be a team that feels like, hey, yeah, we're on a roll here at the right time of the year, and... If T.J. Watt gets back in there, they are going to be, and I'll knock on the formica here because you just never know what's going to happen in these remaining games, but Aaron Rodgers making progress with the broken wrist, like they could be one of the healthier teams going into the playoffs. And who would have thought that back at the start of the season with the aging questions of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody has injuries. Everybody's banged up. But the Steelers, again, you got to see how these final 3 weeks play out. I'm not trying to jinx anything because, man, we could see things change drastically. We just saw, again, Micah Parsons and Devontae Adams go down for the Packers. Suddenly, Green Bay went from, I really think we could be in the Super Bowl to, I'm not sure we even want to be in the playoffs. This is going to be ugly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can happen like that, and I get it. But feels like maybe the Steelers can build a little something here, have a home game, and potentially they could even have a home game, and this is only going to be worth it if you win, mind you. It's going to be crushing, soul-crushing for me, but you could beat a Harbaugh brother in that first round of the playoffs. That, ladies and gentlemen, is almost worth it right there.
Oh, boy. You
are... Not almost. That is worth it right there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff's dreamland.
I'm just saying it would be fun, wouldn't it?
All right. All right, a couple quick notes before we take a break. Now, we have a friend here in our building, works in another office. And I came when I arrived this morning, he arrived at the same time. And he's like, yeah, I was at the Steelers game the other night. I'm like,
Here we go.
And he's like, man, it was a cold. Like, yeah, it's like, what, 15 degrees or something? He said something like his beer froze.
That's so good.
It was so cold, his beer froze.
Oh.
Okay. And he said, yeah, my wife's a Miami fan. I'm like, what? That's insane. So they were freezing, but they apparently had a good time in Pittsburgh.
Well, that's...
While his beer froze.
Still. Anyway. All right. And bowl action. Yes, it is bowl season galore here. Last night it was Jacksonville State defeating Troy. 17-13 was your final. I actually did not watch any of the... that was the Cranton Bowl. In Montgomery, Alabama.
Whatever you say.
Last night. Okay. So congratulations to Jacksonville State. Today, actually, we will have the Staff DNA Cure Bowl.
We're going to carry
That's
it?
Right. The,
oh.
Yes. Now, the primary reason, so we have a lot of bowl games offered to us, and I'm looking through it, and I'm like, I know we're a football-crazed area, but you're...
Yeah,
there's just not. So the reason we are going to carry this one, the Staff DNA Cure Bowl, for a couple of reasons. One is it's drive time. It starts at 5 o'clock. Coverage, I believe, I need to double check that. Our coverage will begin here this afternoon on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
4:30.
At, I believe, 4:30.
4:30? All right, there we go.
I don't know. I got to double check it. I have it listed as 5 o'clock. I'm wondering about
Just
that.
Just keep listing, folks. You won't miss it.
Yes. So 5 o'clock, though, is the kickoff. But Old Dominion, of course, their head coach is Ricky Ronnie.
Ricky Ronnie.
Former Penn State assistant. And they're taking on South Florida down in Orlando. So, yeah, drive time, a little college football, and there's a Penn State connection. Action there.
Okay.
What the heck? Let's do it. So we will have Old Dominion in South Florida for you late this afternoon and into the evening on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And it starts at our coverage starts at 5 o'clock, unless I made a mistake, which feels likely. In which case, the coverage will start at 4:30.
Okay.
I will be double checking that in short order. Also tonight, it is the highly anticipated 68 Ventures Bowl.
Whatever that means. Okay.
That is also in Mobile, Alabama, at Hancock Whitney Stadium. That'll get underway at 8:30, and that will have Louisiana, not Louisiana State,
just
Louisiana versus Delaware.
Okay, the Blue Hens.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
8:30, and we will not have that game for you.
Oh.
Sorry about that. You can check it out.
Blue Hens fans, sorry.
The tube, but we'll have Fox Sports. But, yeah, I think we have, it's like over 3 weeks here where there is at least a football game, college or professional, every day for over a three-week period.
Crazy.
That's wonderful.
That's crazy.
Beautiful.
Right.
Yeah, I did not check out. I was all into the hockey last night, so I...
All right, well, here's my definition of crazy.
Yeah.
All right? So I'm at home last evening, and I noticed the Penguins game is on. It was on TNT. I thought, all right, I haven't watched in a little while. Turn it on. This is the first period.
Yeah.
All right? I tune in just in time to see not one, not two, three Penguins in the penalty box at the same time.
Yeah, that was...
I can't remember the last time I've seen that.
It was just one penalty, then a second penalty, then a third penalty.
So that did happen.
Yes.
See, I thought my head was just playing. I'm like, oh, this cold is really hitting me hard.
Three Penguins in the penalty box at the same time. Now, if you're a hockey
fan, I thought that was the NyQuil.
All right. Now, if you're a hockey fan, you know, power play, you're one guy short. If there's another penalty, then it's a 5-on-3. Now you're two guys short. Then the third guy gets a penalty, and I'm thinking, okay, you can't do 5-on-2. And that's true. You can't do it's 5-on-3. You could have, God forbid, four guys in the penalty box, which is, has that ever happened? I have no idea.
Yeah, probably.
It would always be a 5-on-3. But then what happens is, I guess, when the first penalty expires, that guy doesn't come back on the ice. He just, I don't know, goes to the bench or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? And then when the second one happens, okay, now it's 5-on-4, like a standard power play. Problem is, as I recall, Edmonton scored two goals in that stretch because they could. All right? And it's just, I don't recall seeing three guys in the penalty box at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, this is not going to be their night, and it was not their night. All right? That and then quickly, all right, Penn State Wrestling. Some of you, again, we've talked about this. You're going wild about this ranking from Flow Wrestling, which now has Penn State third behind Ohio State and Iowa, even though Iowa got pummeled by Iowa State, a couple of weeks ago or whatever. So I'm on X Twitter last night, and here's a comment from Bo Nickel. I think you know him. Bo Nickel.
Mm-hmm.
And his comment about this is, quote, some of the best rage bait I've seen. Oh, word of the year.
There you go.
Way to go, Bo. Yes. Some of the best rage bait I've seen. Then he writes, pro tip, don't engage, it's a trap. And he's right. If you're a Penn State fan, even, just ignore it.
It truly is meaningless. And the thing is, I don't even know that it actually is. There's a lot of people saying that. What it is very flawed. Like Josh Barr is the starter at 197 for Penn State. Now he's got to win the wrestle off, and you know Connor Mirasola is terrific. Josh Barr is like one of those next level guys, a la Mitchell Messenbrink, Levi Haynes, and we're going to see Marcus Blaise and PJ Duke here. So part of it is that they have, and pretty much all of the national polls have Blaise and Duke ranked too low, and then they don't have Josh Barr in there. They have Connor Mirasola, and with his loss this last week, he's dropped a little bit in the rankings. So instead of a number one guy there at 197, they have like a number eight-ish guy, and that is a difference maker when you're talking about the points at the top. Again, the way they are doing this is they're just taking – it's not like they're just putting their thumb in the air, although they'd be better off doing that in this case,
yes,
to be honest with you, because there is nobody, I mean, even within Flow Wrestling, that doesn't recognize who the prohibitive favorite at the NCAA tournament is this year. Now, it is sports. I am not one of those sitting here telling you there is no chance that Penn State loses at the NCAA tournament. It's sports. Crazy things happen. Injuries can occur. And Ohio State is really good. That is a really good top-to-bottom lineup that the Buckeyes have put together this year. But Penn State's track record here, and when you put Josh Barr in there, and that's the thing, these rankings, once Josh Barr gets in there, Penn State will be once again number one within a couple of weeks here because Josh Barr will be reinstated as the top-ranked wrestler at 197, and that'll be enough of a difference to get Penn State climbed over Ohio State and Iowa in the tournament rankings. But yeah, if I was Flow Wrestling, it's like, all right, well, we need to tweak this. Like, yes, this is how it's coming out, but also we're going to look like we look ridiculous, but they just decided, no, we're just going to go with the system that we have. And yeah, by the way, the Intermat rankings, which is what the Big Ten uses to that's what they recognize as the national poll. Penn State is once again number one there, and the Nittany Lions still have three wrestlers ranked number one in Shane Van Ness, Mitchell Messenbrink, and Levi Haynes. And then Luke Lilledahl is number two, Rocco Welsh number four at their respective weight classes. Marcus Blaze still number 10.
He hasn't wrestled enough.
It's fine. P.J. Duke is number eight.
Same thing.
Again, there's nobody that thinks those guys are going to finish there at the end of the season. Aaron Nagao is still number seven. Connor Mirasola is number eight. And Cole Mirasola, excuse me, dropped down to number 11 in the or number 13. Sorry, he was 11 and dropped to 13 in the rankings this week.
All right. I've never been to the Penn State wrestling offices, Rec Hall, right?
Yes.
I've walked past them. Yeah. You know, when I did a volleyball match a couple of months ago, I walked past the office. They have a bulletin board in there?
They do not.
Oh, they should.
No, they're not. They really are not.
Why not?
Yeah, they're just not big on that stuff. And even it was funny. It was a question that had to be asked, but I knew the reporter and Cal handled it exactly the way that they should have. But reporters, like, you have with wins this weekend, you have the all-time winning streak, and Cal's like, yeah, I don't know. We're just we're trying to get a little bit better, and we want to improve this week on what we have. Like, there is – now, the wrestlers, I think, are aware of it, and – I have to think it is a source of pride for anybody that's been with the program since 2020, and really even before that. I mean, it's your program now that is going to have the record for most consecutive dual meet wins. I think any time your program has a record like that, that's pretty neat. That's pretty special, and if you're part of it, I'm guessing that has to mean something to you. But when I tell you it is not a focus, I mean, it's not mentioned. It is not something Cal even, like, their focus really is, hey, let's have a little fun. Let's get a little better today. And, you know, let's work on some specific things with some specific kids and then go see what kind of improvement we make this week. And then we'll go back and make some more adjustments the following week. And they are just so process focused that all of this stuff, which is really cool stuff, is just of zero interest. And it just cracked me up. Cal's, I don't know anything about that. We're just trying to get better.
He should have given the reporter a cookie. Here, why don't you have a cookie?
There you go.
You need a cookie, a Kale's cookie.
Everybody should get a cookie once they set the new standard at 77 consecutive.
All right, let's take a break. We're horribly off schedule,
well,
which is normal for us.
Yeah.
We're going to come back. We have open line time. Again, politics in D.C. is just going wild this week, and we'll talk some about that. Maybe the cost of youth sports, which, again, really is getting out of hand. Not just the cost, maybe the way we look at youth sports. That, and if you've got some things, hey, we're happy to talk about it. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family member's needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs.
Wireless high-speed internet is also provided.
So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Let's talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use. 814-954-7266.
When I think Christmas, I think Miley Cyrus.
Who doesn't? How you doing, Miley?
I mean, it's like every big-time singer has to do Christmas songs.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Just that is part of the repertoire.
She'll always be Hannah Montana to me.
Oh, really? Oh, she's nowhere near Hannah Montana anymore.
I don't know what you're talking about.
One of those former Disney stars, whoa, what is she doing? Anyway, 814-954-7266. The sports stuff, the kids' sports stuff. This has always driven me a little crazy. Now, this is a one man's opinion, okay? Kids that are 7, 8, 9, maybe even 10 years old, why, parents, are you doing travel teams? Why? I mean, why? Come on. If a kid has, all right, this is an opinion, all right? If a kid has sports talent, you know, a certain sport, pick a sport. If a kid has sports talent, they're going to develop it at some point. It's going to happen, all right? It could be when they're in junior high. And they go through the dreaded growth spurt, right? At some point, boom, they go through the growth spurt. It may not happen till high school. And when that happens at those levels, okay, they're probably going to develop. They're probably going to develop, I would say, quickly. In other words, they'll pick things up. They'll start to understand the game more or, you know, how to do certain wrestling moves and all that sort of stuff. Doing the stuff at the age of 7 and 8, for me, is obscene. And I'm talking about travel teams. I'm not talking about, hey, don't let the kids go play. No, I coached youth soccer once upon a time. And I coached youth basketball and softball once upon a time when my girls were of that age, okay? And, yeah, if it's a local league and so on, and you do a little bit of traveling to a nearby town, okay, great, wonderful. The whole purpose of little kids' sports is let's have fun, let's work on some skills, all right? Let's work on teamwork and so on, and that's it. Then you move on to the next thing. When I see this stuff about travel teams with, like, 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds, I just think, why? Why? The statistics are against you. And I think I may have caught that same story that you kind of mentioned last hour a little bit. I saw something yesterday.
Yeah, it's been making around.
2%, I think the figure is 2% of high school athletes will go on to get a college scholarship to something. 2%. That's it. And then, is it even, if you want to go from college to pro, is that even 2%? Not even 2% there.
No.
All right? And so the idea that you're going to drill your 8-year-old into being a super-duper basketball player or whatever because this is going to eventually get them to the NBA or the WNBA, frankly, is insane. It just is. Just let the 8-year-old play basketball. Have fun. I can recall, now this is years ago, I know it's happening now, that, you know, in some coaches, some leagues or whatever, they drill these young kids so much, the kid loses the will to play the sport. It's not fun anymore. Now it's more like work. And if you do that, then the kid's going to probably turn their back on the sport forever. Because it's like, well, that's no fun. That's the whole purpose of sports. Go out and have fun. Enjoy what you're doing. Don't overdo it. I've got a story. Now, this goes back, oh, boy. This would be about 20 years ago. One of my daughters, I was playing softball at the time, which she later gave up for music later. And by the way, she's now, I'm proud dad, she's an outstanding high school choral music teacher. She had to choose at one point between softball and music. She chose music and has excelled all the way. Proud, proud dad here. Very proud dad. All right. She realized, okay, this softball thing probably, yeah, it's not going too far. Music? I have some potential. Off she went. Boom, done. But she had a friend. This is at the junior high level. She had a friend who was a good pitcher. All right. Good pitcher at the junior high level. And I'm not going to name names, obviously, none of that stuff. But she went at it too much at the junior high level. She was pitching and pitching and pitching and pitching and pitching and pitching to the point where she essentially blew her arm out. At the junior high level, she blew out her arm and never pitched in high school. That was it. She was done. Because I'm not going to blame parents or anything. She overdid it when she was in junior high school. And maybe it was, come on, you're really good. Come on, you need to practice more. Come on, come on. Folks, no, 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 no. Little kids, let them be little kids. Sports are supposed to be fun. Maybe when you get to the high school level, okay, now let's really drill, drill, drill. Although I'm not a fan of this specialization crap, all right? I think when kids get to high school, they should play multiple sports. All right, if you're a boy, I don't know, you play football or soccer. And then in the wintertime, maybe you play basketball or you wrestle. And in the springtime, I don't know, you play baseball or you run track.
Yeah.
Great. This, oh, I got to play basketball 12 months a year, I think is nuts. Nuts. If your kid is that talented with basketball, they don't need to play it 12 months a year to show, hey, this kid's really good. All right, watch out for him or her. All right. All right, you're nodding your head a little bit. Just we've gone at it too much with little kids' sports. And when I see travel teams for soccer, I love soccer, but for like 8-year-olds, I'm just like, this is stupid.
Why, come on, what, are they going to win a state championship? No, of course not. Not at the age of 8. Just let the kids have fun. And then, hey, maybe in the wintertime, why don't you try basketball? Hey, that sounds like fun. Let's go have some fun.
Yep.
You're in agreement with me. It's just it's too much.
I am. Again, we're talking generally, and I'm not saying there can never be any exceptions to the general rule, but overwhelmingly, yes, the majority of kids with athletic talent and athletic wanting to pursue athletic endeavors. Yes, you're better off, especially at least at the young ages, and I would argue right up through high school, but that to me is a separate debate, but at least up through middle school, to me, you are better off honing your competitive edge by playing different sports, by testing yourself in different sports, even if there is one that you clearly love above the others and there's one that you're better at. Now, again, this is applicable to probably 99% of the kids out there. Is there going to be an exception where somebody is just, man, at a young age, they're just consumed by tennis, and that, man, I just love tennis, and the parents recognize, my gosh. And that's the other thing is, I think a lot of parents, we are guilty of thinking our kid is better than they are at anything. It's like, well, my kid is brilliant. Your kid's pretty smart. I don't know if, well, my kid really knows how to, well, your kid is practicing and is doing well. Even at the collegiate level, I've just seen it with over the years where there are people that, my kid's going to be going to the NFL and you're watching them and it's like, not that kid, or is going to the NBA, or is going to be an Olympian, or this or that. I think sports are great. I don't think you need to get to the collegiate level or to be a professional to make them worthwhile. I think they can teach some wonderful lifelong habits, and I think those connections can be valuable in terms of understanding how to interact with other people and, maybe even people that you don't necessarily get along with. Yeah, but we have a common objective. We've got to figure out, how to make it work, that type of thing. That's going to benefit you, down the road if you get into, business or really any job, where you're having to deal with other people. I think those are all benefits, but, yeah, there are way too many people, way too many parents that are trying to live vicariously. Man, I wanted to be the great athlete and I wasn't. By gosh, I'm going to make sure my kid is. Let your kid live his or her life. Let them, and support them. And again, if you recognize that, my God, they actually do have a unique, special gift here and that is what they are passionate about. I'm not saying never under any circumstances should anybody ever just specialize. I am saying it is so rare as to be practically worth dismissing. Again, there are going to be individual cases here and there, but the number of cases, the number of individuals I've seen, and I have friends, I have just people that I've watched in youth sports and I'm telling you about 80% of the time you can see it coming. Because, wow, my kid is working with this special trainer. And we're like, middle school or even elementary school. And, boy, they're really excelling at this. And I'm like, yeah, not my place to say. You are the parent. You get to do what you want with your kid. But I'm like, yeah, your kid's not going to be playing in high school. I can see it. They're going to, and sure enough, they get to high school and there's been some very tough talks that I'm aware of where the kid's like, I'm not going to go out for the sport this year. And the parents get very upset. Well, we've invested all of this. Yeah, I don't know why you did that. I don't like it anymore. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it happens a lot. Let your kids tell you what they want to do. Don't tell your kids. Now, that does not mean, right, the old, can you go too far? I'm not saying your kid says, well, I just want to go to practice a couple of days a week. No, if you sign up for the sport, yeah, you are there. I don't care whether you're liking it. Like, you've signed up, you've made the commitment, you got to get through that season. Now, if at the end of that year they're like, yeah, I don't like that sport, I don't want to do it anymore, okay. Now, find something else to do, whether it's, I'm not even saying it has to be sports. Like you said, with your daughter, it can be music. But you got to find something that you're passionate about that can give you some direction and some connection. But let your kid lead you. And, again, good parents know how to push. Again, I'm not saying you don't, hey, I'm watching you and you're not giving your all. Like, that is fine. I'm not saying the parents can't push the kids. I'm saying you need to watch how you're doing that and the degree to which you're doing it and the impact, positive or negative, that is having on your kid and the relationship to, in this case, sport, but again, whatever it may be, any activity that they are in. All right, we're going to take a break here.
Take a break.
We will be back much more on the other side. It is our Wednesday edition of Let's Talk.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio. Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox State College.
It's the cutest thing I swear you'll ever see. It's the best.
Do love that candy cane lane. Although I'm not a big peppermint guy. I don't. My wife, my kiddo, they love the peppermint. Not big on it. Phone line is open. It is an open phone. Let's talk Wednesday, 814-954-7266. It's the same with the pump. Like, I'm not, like, completely anti-peppermint, but and it's the same thing with pumpkin at Halloween. It's like everything pumpkin this, pumpkin spice that. And there are people who get really fired. And that's great. I'm like,
Yes.
That's kind of okay, I guess. Yes. I'd just soon stick with my normal flavors.
This time of year, hot chocolate. I like hot chocolate.
Yeah, I don't like the peppermint.
My wife got peppermint hot chocolate the other day, and I'm like, okay, enjoy it.
Yep.
Not my speed. Just give me hot chocolate, all right? I don't need to dress it up with stuff. Now, certain specialty drink stores don't want to hear this. Like, let's see what we can dump in here. And I'm like, no, just give me a hot chocolate. That'll do. Thank you very much. All right. One other very quick thought on the sportsy stuff. Again, this is an opinion. Anything before the age of 12 is moot. Because we all went through it, the growth spurt. Remember that? Now, depending on how old you are, do you remember when you went through the growth spurt, when all of a sudden you're taller and mom and dad have to go buy you new clothes and you feel, I was a boy, obviously. I felt kind of, dopey and I wasn't very coordinated and so on. Remember all that stuff? All right, so if you're thinking about sports, anything before the age of 12 is moot, because when you hit the growth spurt, you change in different ways. What happens after that? Okay, now let's see if this kid really has the sports talent for pick a sport. All right. Before the age of 12, it's just have fun, learn skills, learn the basics, pick up some strategy from your coach. You know, in this situation, we do this. In this situation, we do this. Okay. But again, all the travel teams, no. Just no. All right, just have fun. Play in your local league, and then we'll see what happens after your growth spurt. Poof. There we go. One man's opinion.
Yep.
All right, if you're a political animal, are you having fun right now? Well, maybe. Maybe not. Well, no, fun is probably the right word.
I think it probably
is. It's probably the right word. Different kind of fun. All right?
For sure.
Now, we've been warning you, all right, this healthcare issue is going to explode. And the Republicans are stuck on this one. This has become their issue now. It is not a Democrat issue. You can blame Joe Biden all you want. You can blame Barack Obama all you want. Not going to resonate. All right? It's going to be your problem now, Republicans. And down in D.C., if you follow news, hope you do, I mean, they don't quite know what to do down there. And we've been warning them about this for weeks, ever since the shutdown ended, a few weeks ago. It's like, this is coming. Here it comes. What are you going to do about it? Surprise. We don't know. Oh, that's true leadership right there. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I noticed this yesterday. I'm an ex-Twitter guy. All right, Scott here. I'm an ex-Twitter guy. I swear, I didn't count. It seemed like every member of Congress was posting on social media yesterday. All of them. Which I've never seen before. Not like this. Just they were all posting, and they were all posting about health care. Now, I don't know, our congressman here, Glenn Thompson, if he posted or somebody posted for him, I might have missed whatever he had to say. But it's like everybody had something to say yesterday. I mean, it was insane. And you've got the Republicans, and you got the Democrats. All right. On the Republican side, it was sort of, well, we've got some answers, sort of. And over on the Democrat side, I mean, we could play the tune. It's the end of the world as we know it. I mean, just here's a couple of examples. All right.
Yeah.
I've got a comment here. Whoop, where'd it go? I got a comment here from Steve Scalise. Now, he's a Republican congressman from Louisiana, one of the Republican leaders in the House. And he, this is on X Twitter yesterday. And so he posts on there. And this is his post. He says, Democrats, quote, solution to skyrocketing premiums is to send billions to insurance companies. House Republicans, this is an act, the Lower Healthcare Premiums for All Americans Act. Oh, for God's sakes, why do they have to give these 10-word names? This act, according to Mr. Scalise, will expand choice, boost competition, and cut premiums by up to 11%. And I read this, and my first thought was, that's the best you can do? We're going to cut premiums by 11%. Ooh, I'm all excited now. That's a joke, right? The lower health care premiums for... This is not a solution. All right? Not a solution. It's a Band-Aid at best. And it's a Band-Aid that they're throwing together at the 11th hour to try to do something before the end of the month when those Obamacare subsidies are supposed to go away. And it's, oh my God, how much money do they want? All right? Now, again, some of you, you know who you are, you're fixated on this subsidy thing. And that's all you're seeing is that money going away.
For folks. Free money.
Well, that's
Scott,
pretty, that's
pretty, that, that's the way it's being portrayed.
And that's exactly what it is. It's free money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a thought. Now, we've talked about this a little bit. I talked, you know, I had a little knee problem recently, which I'm
just
doing much
magically appears.
Well, matter, I'm doing much better with my knee now.
Yeah.
But I have really paid attention to, okay, how much is this, what is the cost of whatever happened to me with my knee? And I shared the story. You know, I had an appointment in mid-October. I didn't find out the actual cost of it until mid-November. There's a problem. And I had a half an hour and an x-ray for my knee, that first appointment. I had a half an hour and an x-ray. That's it. I didn't get anything else. And the charge for that from my health provider was supposed to be over $1,800 for a half an hour and an x-ray. Really? Okay. So if you're wound up about health care, what you need to do, one man's opinion, what you need to do, don't fixate on the subsidy. Start taking a look at the actual cost of your health care, whether from your provider or from your insurance company. Start looking at that number,
yep.
Not the subsidy number. And when you start to do that, it's like, oh, my God, this has gotten ridiculously expensive. Somebody needs to actually fix this problem. Government subsidies are never going to fix the problem, ever. Come on, common sense. Never going to happen. So the Republicans are stuck. Now, let's go to this one. Mary Gay Scanlon is a congresswoman from Pennsylvania. She's from down in suburban Philadelphia, the southeastern corner of the state. She puts out a post yesterday. All right, I love this. I introduced an amendment. Of course, hey, look what I'm doing. I introduced an amendment to extend the tax credits for 3 years, which is a terrible idea, by the way. There's no time to waste. We have to act now to save health care for the American people. Oh, for God's sake. Okay, first off, health care doesn't need saving. It's there. It's not going anyplace. All right? We need to save health care. This is crap. All right? Again, from politicians. How do you save health care? Find ways to actually lower costs. There you go. Not subsidize. Lower costs. Well, we need to extend for 3 more years. Well, gee, what's 3 years from now? 2028. Oh, yeah, presidential election year. Oh, yeah, we want to throw that hot potato right in the middle of that one. Meanwhile, we haven't fixed anything in the three-year period. It's just more of the same. By the way, the federal government, $2 trillion in debt every single year. Let's keep throwing more money at the problem when it doesn't actually save it. Chuck Schumer. Oh, we love him. All right, Chuck Schumer. He comes out and he puts out a post yesterday. All right. Actually, he didn't put out a post. He answered questions from reporters. Okay. Again, if you're a Democrat, you really need to find a new spokesman. You got to find somebody else. I don't know who it is, but somebody. So his comment yesterday, when it comes to health care, the damage has been done. Okay. After January 1st, I love this line, it's very hard to put that toothpaste back in the tube. I wonder if he writes his own material. Americans will know when health care dies, it was the Republicans who did it. All right, two thoughts. You got to put the word die in there.
Absolutely.
All right, you got to put those hot button words in there. When health care dies, health care is not going to die. Okay? The health care industry is not going anyplace. It's going to be there. It's way too expensive, but it's going to be there. Do you remember the when was this? What year was this? The political ad about pushing granny off the cliff. You remember when was that? Do you remember what year? We're going back a few years now. But there was a TV ad. Remember this? Where Republicans were accused of this, that, and the other thing. And in the TV ad, granny is in a wheelchair, and somebody literally pushes her off the cliff. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Oh, Republicans want to push granny off the cliff. The stupidest thing. But again, those hot button rage bait, there's our word of the year, issues that it's like, okay, what buttons can we push to get people all wound up? None of this solves the problem at all. Zippo. Now, Scott here, remember I mentioned yesterday, I'm dumb as a brick. If I can figure this out, it's not that hard. What you need to do is extend the subsidies for 2 years, but in that two-year period, you say right up front, we're changing the healthcare system in this country because it's now gotten ridiculously expensive, and it shouldn't take taxpayer subsidies to help you pay your bills. That's stupid. Come on. Anybody with half a brain knows that is stupid. Why do we continue doing this? Now, we'll take a break in a moment. I would love to get a call from somebody. Oh, well, we really need to do this. We will give you the floor, and you can make your case why government subsidies and more and more and more of them are the way to go for the future. I would love to hear your argument. We'll give you the floor. We won't interrupt you. You're going to have a couple of minutes. You can do your spiel. My guess is we won't get that call, but maybe we will. Some brave person out there. Otherwise, are we going to actually fix the problem? We're not going to fix it in a week. All right, that's crazy. That's not going to happen. Mike Johnson says, nope, we're not going to have a vote in the House. Okay, Mike, you just doomed the Republicans to weeks and months of bad PR. Nice move. Very smart political move. Mm. You've painted yourself in a corner, all right, and now you want to stay in the corner? That's not too bright. There are solutions out there. They're going to take time, but this takes a total changeover. Are you willing to do that? Let's take our break. So we'll see when we come back if we get the brave caller. I'm not holding my breath. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Stay tuned. We'll see. All right, get to the phone if that's you. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Get going with 98.7 The Fox. What time is it, baby? Is it that time again? When snow will be falling, friends will be calling. I know it's time when they'll be careless singing.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning as we hurtle ever closer to Christmas Day. And again, the phone line is available for your use this morning at 814-954-7266. And we say good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Scott. I don't have a solution, but I have a couple of questions for Scott.
Okay.
I think we can pretty much agree that a majority of the problems with healthcare pricing, particularly, it probably involves the insurance companies. Correct?
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
So my question is: I grew up. I'm much older than you guys, so I grew up in an era. I think it was the early '70s where they. I worked at Sears at the time, and if you wanted to change the price of a quart of paint, you had to fill out a form, so to speak, and say it's going from, you know, $1.99 to $2.09 or whatever, which in essence was government price fixing. So I guess my question is, how are we going to fix this? Because it's pretty obvious that it's insurance companies are the primary culprit. How are we going to say, okay, you guys are making too much money?
Okay, hold on. Now, I may disagree right there. That health insurance companies are the primary culprit. I'm going to disagree right there. And I'm going to go back to the example I shared with myself recently, my little knee problem that I had, okay? That okay. The part of the 50% of the, at least of this, the fault is with the healthcare providers, you know, the original source of healthcare, all right? You know, for a half an hour with a PA, a physician's assistant, a half an hour with a PA and one x-ray, and the health provider was going to charge me over $1,800 for a half an hour and an x-ray. Okay, that's insane. That is totally nuts. Now, my health insurance company sends me a statement, again, a month after my appointment, which is crazy, and they paid the health provider $800. Which was accepted as payment in full. So the first question is, well, okay, then why wasn't my original bill $800? Why was it $1,800? That's from the health provider. Now the health insurance company, there's fault all over the place. I mean, this is a racket like we've never seen. And the solution is we need to start doing health care like we do everything else. I know what the price of something is when I walk in, not a month later. And you have unfettered competition where, okay, I've got Geisinger here, I've got Mount Nittany Health here, I've got Penn Highlands here, I've got UPMC over there, and for this knee procedure, let's say I needed one. For my knee procedure at Geisinger right now, it would cost this much. At Mount Nittany, it would cost this much. At UPMC, it would cost this much. The prices are going to be different, and I have the chance to choose, okay, I want to make it, I want to get the best deal. I'm going to go over to this one because they've got the lowest price. That's what we do with everything else in life out there. Why don't we do it with health care? That's it. There's your solution. Very quick and easy and a little dirty, but you get the idea. That's the solution. That's what we need to do.
I guess my question is, Scott, is I'm certain there's a tremendous amount of cooperation between physicians and insurance companies or their, you know, their sector as a group or whatever it might be. My question is... you maybe got, in theory, billed $1,800 for an $800 procedure. My question is, if they knew this, they know what your insurance is going to cover. There's no question about it. They know in advance. Mm-hmm. So my question is, if they said this procedure is $800 for to have done what you have done. Is the insurance company say, well, we'll only cover $400 of it in that case? I think it's, like you say, it's a racket. They're charging an outside price, hoping to get, and it's probably already preset, what they're actually, they know what they're going to get paid before they bill you. I'm certain they know what they're going to get.
I agree.
So there's the problem. If they're going to charge $1,800 for an $800 procedure, if they charge $800 for that procedure, they're going to get $400. So I think that's the racket. It's basically a price fixing thing. They know full well they're not going to get the $1,800, and depending on you know. So I think the problem is it's twofold. Obviously, I'm going to bill you. You know, a friend of mine used to laugh and joke and stuff. We bill what the market will bear, and I think that's the problem with healthcare is that they know what they're going to get paid up front. They're doing the procedure anyhow. They're not going to say, "Well, I'm not going to look at Scott's knee for $800." I'm not doing it. They already know they're getting $800. So I think that's the quirk: is how do we get the two of them meshed together? Where this is outrageous. We have to change. You know, I think it becomes a problem. How do you do it without essentially price fixing? Saying, "Okay, you're getting," you know, $2,374 to look at his knee, do the x-rays, do the MRI, and follow-up therapy and so on. And that's it. That's the price. Well, we can't really do that. I agree with you. It needs to be competition, but how are we going to get to there?
Well, it's not going to be easy. I mean, first off, the health care and health insurance industries are going to fight this tooth and nail. All right, because ultimately it would mean them making less money. You mentioned that more, you know, what the market will bear. The problem is in healthcare, the market can't bear it anymore. Most of us can't bear it anymore. It's way, way, way too much money, and it's just crazy. Now, if I have a lot more choice, this has happened with any other business or industry out there. If I have a choice of several places I can go for something that I want. Now all of a sudden it's, okay, how much is it going to cost? Well, hey, these folks have a sale this week or something like that. I'm going to go there. Or, you know, Walmart is Walmart because when they buy in bulk, then they can offer lower prices on stuff than a mom-and-pop store. That's why Walmart is gigantic, is because they offer lower prices for all kinds of all sorts of different things. If we do something similar with that with healthcare, where you as the consumer have full choice, and it's like, okay, I'm not locked into going to just one place. I'm going to look at five different places. Who can give me the best deal here? Who's going to give me the best service here? I choose place number three instead of being locked pretty much into just one spot. I can write, caller, you're maybe older than us, but maybe not that much, all right? I can remember when I was a kid, there was the local family doctor, and he was pretty much, he was tied to a hospital, but he was pretty much on his own. And, of course, that's not the way it is anymore, is it? No. Everybody's locked into one of these now pretty massive healthcare companies that it's pretty much everything gets shoveled in one only in one direction where I don't have any choice. I really don't. And so I don't want to call it a monopoly, but in a sense it almost it is. Because if you work with one particular health company, you're expected to always do your stuff with that one health company. Somebody wrote a piece. I mean, this has been publicized. You know, when it comes to health insurance, folks, you are so limited on the choices you're allowed to have in the state of Pennsylvania. Well, why is that? Maybe there's some health plan from, I don't know, Iowa that, hey, it's a lot less expensive. It looks really good. I'd like to get that one from Iowa. No, you're not allowed. You can only get the ones that are in Pennsylvania. Well, that's crazy. So, again, every time we look at this, it's a racket, it's a racket, it's a racket. We're never going to solve these problems until we break up this racket. That's it, caller.
How do we keep Dr. A, B, C, and D that are scattered around five different health providers in the State College area from saying, okay, guys, this system's changing a little bit. From now on, this is what our knee replacement is, $23,416. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
How do we keep essentially price? Now it's going to be 10 years worth of price fixing because these guys aren't stupid. You know, there's so many guys doing the surgeries. You can pick your place, but this is the price. Now it becomes a matter of, I really like this orthopedic surgeon. And if you really like that guy, chances are pretty good he's got 500 scheduled this year and you're not going to get him.
Yeah, yes. I mean, the good businesses get more business. Meanwhile, the not as good businesses need to adjust and change what they do to reattract business. And probably number one on that list is you offer a lower price.
Well, I always said, a friend of mine once said, and it's been repeated by several people over the years, obviously thousands probably, just always remember one thing. The worst physician in State College graduated from medical school.
Well, hopefully. Yeah, that's what they're supposed to do. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call.
The phone call.
I mean, this is a really complicated issue, but just more government subsidies shoveled, that made the problem worse. Because, again, it's like for the healthcare companies and the insurance companies, it's like, oh, the government's going to put a lot more money on the table? Okay, let's go grab it.
Of course.
Let's go. That's what any business would probably do.
Yes.
If the government's going to step in.
That's what happened with COVID. It's like, all right, we're going to help sustain all of these companies. And, you know, now they're trying to dig through and figure out, oh, my gosh, there might have been some fraud here. Well,
surprise.
Yes, you think you're handing out money left and right. And even where there wasn't fraud, again, there was inevitably there were businesses that didn't really need the help that took it because, well, yeah, you're giving it to us, of course. And undoubtedly, there were some businesses that could have used more help that probably didn't get what they actually needed because they were trying to be fair and balanced or whatever the terminology.
Got
to
give
be.
It to everybody.
But
yeah.
It would help if going back to civics, if we could teach young people that when the government gives you something, it's not actually free. They're not giving it away from like the money store. And I really do believe there are people that think that the government just, that money just magically appears and it is free. And well, yes, of course. Why would they not be there to help me? And, you know, my concern for a number of years and is and remains with that, there are requirements that the government can put on you, and it just, you know, Paul Harvey is the one that had the great line that with freedom comes responsibility, with great freedom comes great responsibility, and we just have so many people willing to hey, I don't care about my freedom as long as I don't have to be responsible. And the idea of self-determination, self-destiny, it almost seems like it's foreign to an increasing number of young people in this country. They just want to be taken care of, and they're okay with, it's okay if I'm not as free, if I don't have as many choices, if I don't have as many options, just, you know, keep supporting me. And to me, that is heartbreaking to see, because you then are not realizing your full potential. And we ought to be doing everything we can to encourage people to find what it is that you are good at and that you love doing, and push you to be able to do that, but to do it largely on your own. Now, I'm not saying never get help from anybody anywhere, but understand that anytime you're getting help, right, somebody is, it is taking away something from somebody else. The whole free market is, yes, I'll give you something for something in return, but, and I'm going to put the value on it, and we're going to agree that, yes, my gosh, this surgery is worth it to me. This is a life-saving procedure, so by God, yeah, this is worth thousands of dollars. I'll figure out how to pay for it. Or, well, yeah, this is a broken pinky. That ought to not be thousands of dollars. Whatever the case may be. I'm with you. We've got to get back to the free market principles and allow that to dictate the cost of services, and people are going to settle in with, well, yeah, you know what, that is reasonable, or no, that is not reasonable, and forget about it.
Yes. All right, we've got to take a break. Yes. Now, how do we get there? And do we have politicians courageous enough to see this, that realize, okay, we got to just, this is totally got to change.
You're funny. And courageous politicians. That's a good one.
I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, Scott.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll have one more segment. President Trump has a national address tonight. Oh, what's he going to talk about? Oh, wonderful. We'll be right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to HappyValleyComicCon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Presents and I'd be glad. But the last time I played Father Christmas, I stood outside a department store. A gang of kids came over and bust me and knocked my reindeer to the floor. He said, Father Christmas, give us some money. Don't mess around with us, sing a toy. Beat you up, don't hand it over. We want your bread, so don't make us a noise. Give all the
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning.
The Kinks.
I love that one. I really do. Phone line is open, 814-954-7266, 814-954-7266. Couple of minutes remaining. If you're looking for a gift for the Gen Zer on your list, I think this is a Reader's
Gift
Digest
card.
Story.
Gift card.
No. Cryptocurrency is what they are wanting.
No,
45%, according to a Visa survey, found that Gen Zers would be excited to receive cryptocurrency as their holiday gift here this year. Now, I, on the other hand, would be okay with just pennies. I'm just looking for pennies. Now, I'm looking for very specific pennies.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
One of the final 232 sets of the pennies that were sold at auction last week. The 232 sets of three pennies each, this is from the final batch of pennies that will ever be produced.
Don't make them anymore.
Here in the good old U.S. of A. Those sets, all totaled at the auction, went for $16.7 million.
Hello.
Are you kidding me? Man. Impressive. The last set, the very last pennies that were minted here in the good old U.S. of A, went for over $800,000.
Must be nice
at
to have money.
Auction.
Wow.
That is truly
crazy.
Amazing.
Okay, amazing.
Well, both crazy, like crazy. And amazing.
Oh, nuts. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of nuts, yes. Unfortunately, caller, we're out of time because we gotta move on.
Yeah, we just don't have time to do
President Trump is, doing a speech tonight at 9 o'clock. Maybe you'll tune in.
Oh, I hope he tells us, shares more thoughts on Rob Reiner. Don't we all want to? Good God.
He's apparently going to discuss his accomplishments this year. Okay. If I were his speechwriter, darn it, we're out of time.
Huh.
If I were his speechwriter, and I have some serious thoughts, this is what I would talk about tonight. We will have to save that for tomorrow.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll see what he has to say.
All right.
Folks, we hope you have a great evening, whether you watch the speech or not. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox.
Fox Sports.